Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at UH1.com.
But I knew that I would be letting them down slightly, you know.
The disappointment of children is unbelievable. One race I did, my daughter was holding a sign that she'd made, go mummy, whatever. And as I came up and I was like, oh, and I stopped to walk and I came up to her, she went, oh. And I thought, okay, I don't know what's going on. And I finished and then I saw her at the end, she went, you were walking. And that was it. She's like, I thought you ran races, but you were walking. And I was like, okay, that's me put in my place.
Totally red, yeah.
I would write her name on my arm, then cross it out. That's showing you.
Do we want... I mean, I think that there was clear support for... It's got to be Gusset.
Gusset,
yeah.
It's got to be Gusset.
Do we think Gusset's the winner of that lot?
Yeah. Yay! Alice, I have something to present to you.
Here,
I have something to present to you. Asa, can I give you this?
Sorry, my bag.
Present, Alice.
I present to you, Alice.
The most embarrassing story.
Well done.
Queen of...
Queen of embarrassing. Yeah. Welcome to episode 170 of the Women's Running Podcast. I'm your host, Esther Newman, and she's your other host, Holly Taylor. On this podcast, we talk about health, politics, stuff on TV, and what we ate last night. Occasionally, we talk about running. This episode, we're definitely talking about running. First up, this episode is sponsored by Randox Health. Make sure you use the code RUN10 to get 10% off in-clinic and home health tests. This episode is a recording of a very special live podcast that took place last Thursday in person at the Sweaty Betty store in Battersea Power Station. We had special guest Jenny Faulkner come to join us to chat about running a 10K, which fits rather nicely, it's almost as if we organised it really, with the launch of our special magazine, How to Run 10K, which our attendees all received in their goodie bags. We start off talking about New York because I begin this very selfishly flaunting my medal before launching into our chat with Jenny about training for a 10K. So here we talk about how to train, what a training plan might look like, and what strength training to do to support your running. We also introduce another special guest, the one and only Professor Taylor, who tells us some wonderful 10K factettes. We end the sesh by talking about our favourite embarrassing moments, and we asked our audience to supply their worst moments on the run as well, crowning the queen of embarrassing moments with our women's running tiara. This episode is sponsored by Randox Health. For 40 years, Randox have been focusing on testing to help protect your future health. Randox Health offers personalized health packages designed to give you detailed insight into your health, measuring data across a range of key areas, including heart, hormone, and vitamin health. Randox Health offers a range of tests across these areas, some of which you can do from home. Accessing data like this can help us make positive lifestyle changes to help prevent illness and improve our performance. Holly and I used the Female Hormone at Home kit, which has helped us to better understand our bodies and our health. And it was brilliant for both of our age groups, with me flirting around the menopause and her being all annoyingly millennial. To find out more about all the services Randox Health offers and to book online, go to randoxhealth.com and use the exclusive code RUN10 for 10% off in-clinic and home health tests.
Hello. Hiya. Thank you so much for coming. It's lovely to see you all. Well, welcome to Sweaty Betty Battersea, which is glorious, isn't it? We just want to say, well, thank you to all of you. We need to say thank you to lovely Jenny Faulkner, who's here today.
Hello. 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 Thank you. Oh, thank you for having me. This is exciting.
It's very exciting. And thank you to Holly Taylor, who's here today.
I didn't know I was going to get her. Oh, thank you so very much.
I have to be here contractually. So.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah. And we also need to say thank you to Randox, who sponsored the event, who aren't here, but we can say woo to Randox. And Vinca Wine Cans. Thank you, Vinca. And last but not least, we do want to say thank you to Sweaty Betty for hosting us in this gorgeous space, so we're very pleased about that. Thank you very much. So here we are.
Here we are.
About 10K and various other bits and pieces.
We have got to talk about 10K, but I do feel it would be it wouldn't be right if we didn't acknowledge what's round your neck right now.
Guys.
It's hard to miss that.
It is. It's not subtle, is it?
No.
And as you know, it shouldn't be. I mean, I was with you.
You were.
So I'm going to
pretend.
When
you say you were with her, how often were you with her? I mean,
like twice. Once at the start, once at the finish.
Yeah, something like that.
No, I did see Esther at Mile 16.
Mile 16.
Which was actually, it was kind of just before things started to get really tough, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I think it was nice timing because I could give her a little bit of, we had a cuddle on the sideline. And then you were off, and I was like, I'd been waiting there for an hour, and then it's like, it's seconds, and then she was gone, and then I waited in a plate. I can't remember how much of this I said on the pod that came out today. So sorry if I'm repeating myself, but then I waited in a playground for you. We'd been told by a brilliant,
pervert.
Felt like a total pervert because it was like, it was fully like a children's playground with people like putting their children on the swings and slides. And there were no, it wasn't like a park. There were no people sitting there reading or like having an ice cream.
Why were you waiting in a kid's playground?
Well, we'd been told that it was best to do that because if I tried to meet Esther in Central Park.
It was insane. It was so busy. It's like 50,000 runners and like double that in terms of supporters. So it was just huge. And as we all filed out, it just got busier and busier and busier. So it was just, it was awful. So we've been told by a lovely podcaster, oh, you should meet in this park. This is a good place to meet. So we did, and it was great, and that was fine.
Yeah.
But I could barely walk by that stage, and then there were subways to try and navigate, and I couldn't get downstairs.
It was completely bonkers. We were properly sardined onto the subway. It was mad.
Yeah. It was mad. But, I mean, the run itself, that was fine. It was fine.
I was watching videos. I don't know if anyone else has seen videos of the marathon, but there's, like, people trying to deliver pizzas as normal across the marathon, and are people just walking across the road as you're running?
Yes. To be honest, though, it wasn't as badly managed as, say, for instance, the Paris half. I don't know if anyone remembers that. Where people are like, what are you doing? And they're just like pushing their prams in front of you. So like it was better than that. But where it got tricky was the enthusiasm. People were so enthusiastic about the runners, enthusiastic about the race, which is lovely. But you're like, I'm trying to run here. I'm running here.
But yeah. It was amazing. It was amazing to watch. I mean, it kind of, dare I say, gave me the bug a little bit. Where I was like, maybe I could do it. I mean, the hurdle you've got to get over is, we're not here to talk about marathons, and we will talk about 10K.
We shall.
But I think the hurdle is having done a half, and then how truly decimated I feel after a half. How on earth can you do that all over again is what I want
to
know.
But you know what? I also think that even if you've done a marathon and then you do a half, you go, how did I do a marathon before? Yeah. I think that every time. You push yourself in a different way, don't you?
You do. And the last mile or the last kilometre of every race, the last little bit of every race is always the worst bit, isn't it? And so like when I saw Holly at mile 16, I was kind of feeling all right. And then I think because I knew I wasn't going to see her and that was it, and I had 10 miles on my own with an audiobook that was kind of all right, it was going to be hard.
We are talking 10 miles, though, there. I mean, when you say the last bit is always hard, in a half, that's like 3 miles. I mean, I say 3 miles, that's still a bloody long way, but like 16 to 26, that ain't short.
It's not short. No. It was long, it was hard, and my legs did not like me, nor did my toes. Nothing liked me, but, you know, it's fine. And I knew that there was going to be chips at the end. It was all cool.
There were chips. Yeah,
there were chips.
And you did it.
I did it.
Flipwell did it and got a medal. It's amazing.
Never again. Anyway.
Welcome to the Women's Running Podcast.
Yeah, there we go. I've had enough of that. Okay, so we're here to talk about 10K. So I think I'll stop talking about marathons and I'm going to get Holly to talk about 10Ks.
Oh, really? Oh, okay.
Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, I mean, well, when we were discussing this and why we should talk about 10Ks, I mean, by a show of hands, if you guys don't mind, how many of you have run a 10K or longer? We thought that may be the case.
Might be a lot of them.
But for those of you that haven't at all, I mean, it's an incredible feat. It's still a really long distance, and it's also a manageable distance, and it will be totally fine. But you know, it's a challenge. But also, those who have done, I think it's such a great distance for, getting back into running again, finding a mojo again. It could be a potential new challenge if you've tackled that distance before, but you want to set a new task for yourself. Speed-wise, or even just experience-wise, like you want to see a new city, you want to run with a particular group of people. Like, it's a really lovely distance to set yourself a goal around, I think, and a great building block. You know, this is not to say that some people might run 10K and go, that is the distance for me, and that's absolutely fine. That's all I want to do, and that's all I feel comfortable doing. But if you do have another goal further in the future, I think 10K can really give you confidence, and especially if you've not run for a while, just having that distance date in the diary can kind of give you a bit of a boost to make you think, yeah, I can do a bloody half or whatever it is. I mean, I think it's easy stuff.
Yeah, and I do. I think it's one of those distances that can be all things to all people, because it can be your fast race and it can be your long race. It can be both of those things. So,
Sorry, I'm noticing, please still come and get wine.
Yes.
We don't want to gatekeep the wine.
One left.
Yeah, this is, please do.
It's like a proper creep up.
Yeah, I know. I felt that.
Why would you run? I'm interested in both of your thoughts, because that's mine, I suppose. It's like, it still feels like a challenge, but it's something that I think I feel confident and strong going into. What would be your motivations? Esther, I'll ask you first. Jenny, then I'll ask you.
Oh, nice. I like that. I've had different motivations for doing 10K over the years, and it's almost everything that you've touched on. So sometimes I've used it as that kind of like milestone before I'm, you know, like a building block of training. The last 10K that we did together was the Vitality 10K, which was amazing, and I saw that as I don't want to use the word fun run, but it was like a community run for us. And it was just lovely. It was a run which I was using it. I was just running my pace. I didn't care about PBs at all. And I just ran and we just chatted and we met loads of people from the pod squad. And it was just a wonderful thing. So that's an entirely different way to view it. But also I've used it in the past to build up my speed. So it's a great distance once you're familiar with it to really kind of push yourself a bit further, I guess. What about you?
Well, for me, when I started running, I remember just wanting to run for half an hour. And then I got half an hour. I didn't know. I had to get in my car and drive it to know how far it was, right? So then I worked out it was probably the equivalent of about 5K now. So then, and it took me a while to get there. And then I was like, right, well, let's see if I can do an hour. So for me, doing a 10K, maybe it was a little bit less, maybe a little bit more, whatever it was, that was like my first long distance running. I wasn't doing it for a race. I was just doing it to see if I could do it and try and do it without stopping. And I would do it around the streets of Glasgow. And I'd be like, try not to stop at red lights. And I would try and find routes that were all downhill and it's really hard. But the fact is that it was like a really good personal challenge to do. And it was private to me. No one knew I was going out to run this. I didn't really know the distance at the time. But to me, that was my first long distance experience. And then, you know, fast forward now, it's my commute distance. So it's quite a handy distance. A lot of people might live that distance from work. If you can run that, then it can turn into not just your kind of fitness, but it can also turn into your commute, which therefore is your fitness. Therefore, you'd have to go to the gym when you get home. Yeah. Done.
Love that answer. Yeah, that's a proper hack.
So I'm interested, what would you guys say to someone who either hasn't run a 10K or would like to run a 10K faster? I mean, do you have any words of advice from a recent 10K-er?
Oh.
And a constant 10K-er? What would you say?
Okay. My thing, and I'm skipping ahead a little bit because I know we're going to talk about this later, but I'm going to say it now because it fits. That I think that doing some strength training would probably be my first bit of advice. And I cannot believe I'm sitting here. I'm a reformed woman sitting here saying this because it's so not my thing and I hate it. But I've kind of grown to love it now. And I feel like the 10K that we did, it was actually my first 10K race. I've never done a race where that was the whole distance. Was the Vitality that we ran, and that was the first time that I'd gone into a run, if I'm being completely honest with myself, consistently having done strength training every week until I did it.
Did it make a difference?
It really made a difference. Like, I just felt so much stronger, and I think the biggest part of that was the core stuff that I'd done, that I just felt like I could maintain my form for much longer and wasn't kind of like, you know, the kind of chin grazing the floor vibe when you start to get towards the end of a race and you sort of tip forwards. It was the first time that I felt like, to the end, I felt strong. Yeah, I really think it did make a difference. Sorry, I can't speak. I've only had a couple of sips of wine and it's already going downhill. But yeah, I think that would be my bit. And we can talk more about strength training so I don't mess around with our form too much, with our clipboards. But yeah, Jenny, over to you.
What 10K tips? I think it's a really good challenge. How many people in here have done a 5K? Okay, so you've done that. So now it's not a challenge to you anymore. So the next challenge is going to be a 10K. And whether it's something that's easy or hard, whether you have to walk it, whether you run walk it, whatever it is, the fact is you can do a 5K. You can walk a 10K on a Sunday if you needed to. You know, it won't be fast, but you can. So why don't you just pick up the pace and try and run it? And that's a nice challenge to have. And so that's why I think it's a good thing to try, to push yourself. And you don't have to do it with anyone. Do it on your own. You don't have to do it in a race. You can do it with friends and just all get a WhatsApp group and say, right, let's do it today. And then you have to tell them if you have and not lie if you haven't. And it's just something that you will be bloody smug about when you've finished as well. And that's why I would do it.
And so, like, because I know when we've spoken before that you've had a couple of injuries.
God, it's so annoying.
So that, I guess that means that you've had to go sort of back up to 10K a couple of times. What does that, does it get easier going back up once you've been injured?
Well, what's really exciting about getting injured Well, first of all, I mean, if you love running or you love doing any exercise, when you can't do the thing you love, as you know, it's really irritating because all you want to do is run. It's like, I remember when I was pregnant, I'd never noticed any pregnant people in my life. And I was pregnant, I suddenly noticed everyone that was pregnant. I noticed schools. When you can't run, all you see are runners. And you're like, oh my God, they're everywhere and they're having, and they're actually skip running and they're loving it and they're laughing and they look amazing and the sun's shining. And I mean, I've been injured and been on holiday and I've just been on the most beautiful running routes, hobbling, just going, I'm really gutted. But what happens is then when you come back to running, it's a joy because you start again. So all the little distances that, you know, you were cocky about and you thought were easy are now a challenge and you can only improve again. So actually being injured, depressing as it may be to miss a little while, that goes very quickly. And then before you know it, you're back out there getting better and you can set yourself all these little challenges.
Very cool.
Yeah, I really like
this
that.
This is very true.
That's very true.
Have you done any races, Jenny?
10K races.
Yeah.
I did the big one I did was the Great Scottish Run. And I did it at my fittest. So that's probably why I haven't done it again. Because I'm like, I did it really well. And if I do it again, it will not be as good. But I ran it.
Is that the one in Edinburgh?
It's in Glasgow.
Glasgow.
Which is where I'm from. And I was mega fit. I was the fittest for me that I've ever been. And I ran, my personal trainer was doing it. She's really fit and I just wanted to beat her. That was basically my motivation. So I was dying. I knew when I crossed the finish line I would puke, but I had to beat her if nothing else. And I remember there was maybe half a mile from the end and I was really dying. And I saw her and I was like that. And I picked up pace, right? And it hurt so much. And I don't even know where this energy came from. But as I ran past, I was that twat. I went... That's all I wanted that day. And it was, I genuinely didn't think it would happen. But I got there and just beat her and did a great race and had a great time and was very proud of it. And so I run 10Ks all the time, but haven't actually raced any since.
So that's what I want to know then, because I was asked this just before I came on as well. It's like, what are your tips then for running a faster 10K?
How did you do that? You want to beat. I mean, I don't know. It's, if you are competitive, and I think a lot of us have, we might deny it, but there's sometimes a little competitive streak, especially if, like, maybe with your other half, maybe with a friend, and I know that you're all like, oh, no, well done you, but inside you're like, really, I'm going to do it faster next time. So you've just got to have a bit of that fighting spirit, and actually it's a lovely way to get round because, yeah, we're all happy for each other, but ultimately if you have someone that's going to race with you, not in a nasty way, not in a bitter way, but it just propels you forward a wee bit, it motivates you. Or do what I did 1 year in the marathon and have a time that you're meeting everyone in the pub and as you're running and you're like, oh my God, it's getting close to that time. You have to pick up the pace, otherwise your wine will get warm.
Yeah, I feel like the conclusion here actually is be a people pleaser,
yeah,
because you're not going to be late for your friends. And I completely agree with the running with someone thing, that even if it's not in a competitive way, sometimes genuinely I'm like, oh my God, I have to keep going because they're going to be so gutted if I can't. It's like, yeah, no, I'm fine. I'm absolutely fine. Completely dying. But it is a great motivator because you want to make sure that you're not kind of holding them back too much.
That really reminds me of Josie in Paris. I don't know who was there listening to. Well, I do know a few people. But when she was telling us to write down, we had to write down labels to stick them on our gel packets. That's a really, really good tip. So every time you take a gel, particularly if you take them regularly when you're doing a longer race, you take the gel out and you look at the little message you've written yourself on your gel packet. And it can be a little quote from, you know, a family friend or a friend or a family member. But what I did on one of my gel packets was just to write my kids' names on it. And ahead of this one, I forgot to do all of that and very hurriedly scribbled my kids' names on my hand. And I had this...
Just in case he forgot.
Just in case he forgot. But I had the same thing as you, which was like, what are they going to think if I finish this? Because they're going to... I mean, every time I do a race, they think... They're like, did you win it? I'm like, no. And so this one, I knew they were going to ask again. Yeah, I came first in front of 50,000 people. Sure. But I knew that I would be letting them down slightly, you know. So
the disappointment of children is unbelievable. At one race I did, my daughter was holding a sign that she'd made, go mummy, whatever. And as I came up and I was like, oh, and I stopped to walk and I came up to her, she went, oh. And I thought, okay, I don't know what's going on. And I finished and then I saw her at the end, she went, you were walking. And that was it. So I thought you ran races, but you were walking. And I was like, okay, that's me in my place.
Totally red, yeah.
I would write her name on my arm, then cross it out. That's showing you.
So this is interesting because I think this does move into our next section. Where we were going to start talking about pace. Mm-hmm. So,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, so that's...
Do you do pace?
Do I do pace?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It's not a fast pace, but I do do pace.
But you do, but do you go like this? You're running, oh, too fast, slow down, slow.
Yes.
You do?
Yeah, you do. You do that quite seriously.
Very seriously.
I've only done that once, and I have to admit, it did mean that it was quite a comfortable run because I didn't do any of the classic foolish things of, like, going out too fast or... But yeah, I think on the whole, sometimes I quite like a bit of naked running, I believe it's known, which is not as shocking as it sounds. thanks, guys. but just running without a watch sometimes does make me feel quite like, I don't know, then you're running to feel and it's like, I'm having a great time. And sometimes I end up going faster than I realise because I'm not paying attention. But you're quite disciplined. Esther's marathon splits... Like, if you followed her along, like, she is such a consistent queen.
Machine.
Yeah.
But that's good.
Well, no, I think I don't use pace to get faster, particularly, apart from in the recent training block. But, and I certainly wasn't using like a plan in order to get faster for the marathon. I just wanted to get run comfortably. But mostly I'm using pace to run slower because I want to run further rather than faster. So, my thing, when I really first started doing it, was when I first trained for the London Marathon, and I knew that I had to be running, you know, I had to be running a certain pace in order to feel comfortable, you know, a certain pace at mile 1, 2, 3, 4 in order to feel comfortable at 24, 25, 26. Yeah. And so I knew that to be the case. But yeah, what I want to talk about is actually getting faster. Do we need to be running a fast 10K? I know the answer to that.
I know. Would you like us to say no?
Thanks. Moving on. but if we were going to be running a 10K and we wanted to run a faster 10K, what pace should that be at? How should we get there?
I mean, I guess to an extent, it's always going to be individual, isn't it? I'm sorry, is that really... world peace answer? But I think it is always going to depend. I mean, I suppose the thing that we found really useful recently for working out what that race pace is going to be, and I know we have banged on about it till the cows come home on the podcast, but the kind of 80-20 method of making sure that you're... Because I didn't really know what a race pace was until recently. I was like, I've got one pace, and it's the pace I run at all the time. But actually, that is an upside of running with a watch or something, is being able to work out what your slightly less than comfortable pace is and what your very comfortable pace is, and doing 80% of your running at that very comfortable pace and 20% at that slightly less than comfortable pace. So come race day, you've practiced that kind of threshold. And I know you did that very successfully recently. I think neither of us did that hugely for the Vitality 10K that we did, because that was about community. It was about running with you guys. It was about having a great time. But I do think that that is quite a good way of trying to work out what that pace should be, is investing in a watch, using Strava even, just something that means that you can kind of track that pace, and then just working out what feels comfortable and what feels a little bit like... couldn't quite have a chat with a pal while I was doing this.
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it, when people, if you've ever got a training plan and someone's written it all down, you know, run it to 60% pace raise and run, you're like, I've literally no idea what I've got to do, I'm just going to run. But yeah, it's a case of almost having, if you can talk and run, that's good for like long training runs, isn't it? And that's, I remember once doing a long training run and chatting the whole way, and we went really far because of it, and it does make a difference. Going slower does get you further, but it's really hard, especially if you want to get around quickly and you think, oh, I've got it in me to go faster. My mistake is always going faster than I need to, which is why I burn out. especially in races, I will get a PB on the first half, absolutely every time, and then I will be dying in the second half. And it's something I've just always done. I think I'd rather hit the wall like having gone further in the first half, right? You know, like further and then hit the wall. But it doesn't work like that. My the best marathon time I ever did, I ran at a slower pace the entire way around. Brilliant. Got my best time. So there is something in it. Without doubt. And no matter what distance you do, there's something in it. So pace is good. You've just got to work out what that is. And the only way to work it out is by going out there and running many times.
Yeah, and being a bit analytical and like organized and stuff, which as many of our colleagues here tonight will know, it's not usually my strong suit, but I do think that actually taking note of your pace when you felt comfortable and like keeping track of stuff, tracking.
Yeah, I mean, I found like the latest training that I've been doing, which was for a 10K, also for a half and for a marathon, but it shook me up to realise that my interval training that I'd been doing previously to properly following a proper training plan, my training plan had been written by myself before, even though I worked when I was running, and to follow a proper training plan, which actually included paces for the intervals. I'd never followed paces. I just like ran faster. It was more fartlecking rather than kind of proper interval training. And to use a pace, I just, after the first one, I just came back and I was like, oh my God, Dave, you know, and I was just on the floor. I didn't know what had happened to me because I'd had to run faster than I had run since I'd been doing cross country when I was like 11. It was really, really hard work, turns out.
Have you ever done that though? And you've ended up, you're doing this like your different interval training and you're like, yeah, it's just a really gentle run. I use an app called Runner. So it's got all the different programs. And I was doing a nice gentle run and then it said, pick up the pace, run at whatever. And I was like, okay. But I was quite near shops in central London and it was a Saturday. And I was trying to sprint and dodge tourists, I looked like I'd nicked something. I did. I really did. And I was like, so if you are going to do that, just choose your route and make sure there are not hordes of tourists on a sunny day in London all trying to take photos and you're sprinting past them and they're looking to see if anyone's chasing you. And you're like, no. It was really bad.
I like to time it so that it's past maybe like, I don't know, ex-lovers. Or
I don't know why I said that,
but you know, people that you really want to show that you are incredibly successful, fast and athletic.
See,
really.
This is all true. Unfortunately, in our job we do get these things documented, and so when this unfortunately has gone out on socials, there's a video of me running that Holly took where we were trying to explain how to run a 10k in a tiny little kind of reel sort of thing. And the bit that I was supposed to be running was to show an interval. So there I was in my head running really super slow and then a second later picking up the pace and running really, really fast, belting it down the road. And Holly videoed all of this. And can you see a difference between the two paces? No. My elbows go up slightly. it's like my 8-year-old daughter running. I look ridiculous.
But I guess the moral of the story is, if you feel like that's a less comfortable pace, then it's interval training?
Yes. We're going to say yes.
Yes. Yes. Scientifically, yes.
So as well as pace then, strength training is important too.
Yes, there I think go. Definitely. Here we go. Thank you, Jenny. Okay.
This is a very good time to subscribe to Women's Running or think about giving a gift subscription for that big date in December you might be thinking about. Because right now, when you subscribe, as well as receiving the best magazine in the world, you'll also get a free exclusive Women's Running technical tee worth £35. It's beautiful, it's blue, and it says Happy Running on the back to help motivate you and your brilliant running buddies too.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Just go to shop.womensrunning.co.uk/become a member and enter X23WRPOD, that's pod, at the checkout for your free tea. And please remember to send us a pic of you wearing it.
Yeah, I think that strength training has hugely helped my running, much to my kind of previous protests. When it appears on like a training plan, it's like, okay, as if I'm not going to be doing that 20 minutes of... I mean, honestly, I'm terrible at looking at just the runs and then being like, and blah, 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 and lovely, I'll do the three runs. Honestly, just don't look at the rest of it at all. But having started doing, I just do like... Normally, I do 20 minutes a week.
But what do you go in and you have... Because that's the thing, it's really intimidating. I remember when I first went to a gym, I went in and I went, I'm just going to go on the treadmill.
Yeah,
that I know what to do there. And then the weights, and then I'll do some sit-ups because I'd do them from the Cindy Crawford workout video that I used to do, and I remember them. And I'd be like, and I look like a pro now. But going into the weight section is quite intimidating. So how did you know what to do?
I simply didn't, and I don't. I'm working on it. I want to be braver, and I do want to go to the gym and do the proper weight training. But I do it from home.
Right,
yeah, I do my very own version of a Cindy Crawford. I've got like a little YouTube channel that I am obsessed with, and I do all the strength training workouts from there. They've got loads as well that are like no equipment. You can choose length. I just find it a bit easier because... I can't be trusted. I can't be trusted alone to do... I will start skiving off. As soon as somebody turned around and stopped paying attention to what I was doing at the gym, then I'd be sitting down and having a packet of crisps. So I do have to have somebody, at least on a screen, being like, now do a plank for a bit. But I think... how I've managed to kind of keep going with it is the consistency of doing the same thing. So I guess that would apply whether you're doing it in the gym or whether you're doing it from home. That it sounds incredibly boring, and maybe it really is, but I don't find it too boring, promise. And I'm very easily bored. I do the same workout every week, and there's like a beginner that you can follow who's instructing you and a more advanced person. And I've been following the beginner for 12 weeks or however long that I've been doing it consistently now, but I'm starting to be able to follow a couple of the advanced moves. And it's nice because it's like you can see the improvement when you're doing the same thing over and over again. I guess the downside of that is the potential boredom, but I think the consistency is good. And that's literally, it's forearm, four core, four leg, and there's no repeats, and it's great. And it's 20 minutes. So I might do it twice a week. I did it twice a week in the lead up to the Vitality because I was like, I'll just up it a little bit. But generally, if I'm not training for a race, I'll do it once a week. But yeah, in preparation for a 10K, I'd maybe do it twice a week. But that's me.
No, I think that's great because actually... The one thing that was missing from the final block of my training for the marathon was strength, because I just gave up on it because I was knackered. And actually, when I was doing the London... I was strength training religiously twice a week. Yeah. And oh my God, it makes so much difference. And it's so boring, but it makes so much difference.
The thing is, it can be quite fun doing the strength training as well. When I first started, I remember I had Ella and I was coming back and I paid for a session with a personal trainer at the David Lloyd, and she basically wrote out a program. So she must have felt really cheated because she never got another session from me, because she wrote two programs actually. And I was like, thank you very much. And all I did was I do that, both those sessions. And I go to the gym, it didn't matter where. In fact, I had a couple of dumbbells at home, so I could do some of them at home. Evian is not actually heavy enough. You know when they go, just use a bottle of Evian. It doesn't actually work. It doesn't really weigh very much at all. Anyway, so I would do all these exercises, and it worked brilliantly for me. Yeah. And it got me into it. And actually, it's only now that I really enjoy it, and I've done a couple of CrossFit classes, and that actually now I'm getting more into doing the deadlifts. And also I know that when we get to a certain age, we should be doing heavier weights. And I don't know if any of you are going, I know I should, but I don't, because I don't want to go to the gym and lift heavy weights. But yeah, the heavier, the better. And that's quite a horrific thing to think. But actually, yeah, we should all be doing big, fat, horrible deadlifts. Even if you can only do two, you'll look blooming good. But that will do you good as well, because as we get older, we need to do these weights.
Yeah. Is that what you would do at the gym? Because to prepare me as a pathetic, I mean, I've done classes and I've used machines a bit, but I've never gone to that scary weight section. Yeah. Is that what you would start with, doing kind of like deadlifting stuff?
Without weights on it, just a bar.
Yeah.
So start with a bar, and actually you'll soon be like, this is so easy with the bar. And the minute they put a tiny weight, you're like, whoa, it's so heavy. But then you'll build up, and it's amazing because, as someone said, right, when you run, the more you run, you'll love it, you'll always enjoy the feel good, but you'll stop improving. And actually, as we get older, running gets harder and we get worse at it. So we do it because we want to enjoy that feel good effect, but we don't get better. But with weights, you can always get a PB. You can, you really can. Even if you're getting much older, you can still PB doing a deadlift or doing a snatch, anything else like that. There's some funny names, but you can do them all. You can do all these amazing things. I don't do half of them because I can get sore shoulders and I want to protect my shoulders for golf. It's so sad. I'm like, I can't do that. I play golf. And they're like, oh, you're such an idiot. But you do what you want to do and you will feel the benefit. I also try, you don't need weights. I try and do pull-ups and rubbish. I've been trying for a year and I can do one sometimes, and that's another great way, because it's just your body weight, as you're saying. Yeah. Just a case of doing it repeatedly.
Yeah, body weight continually, honestly.
Well, I sometimes go, is the reason I can't do a pull-up because my body weight is maybe too much? And that, because you, I mean, I'm like, you see people that are smaller and they can do it, and I'm like, there's a reason. They're tiny.
I always think that when I've done my body, because mine's the one I've been doing at the moment, the strength training class, is just body weight. And I always, like, rather than feeling a bit rubbish about myself because of the size of my thighs, I'm like, can lift all of that. Look at me go.
But you go to the gym quite a lot, don't you?
I go twice a week. I would go more,
that's,
but I don't.
Instagram for you.
Don't have time. I don't have time to go more. I think that's the problem. I think we all want to go and do what we love, but also we all want to do what's right for us. So you have to make strength training fun. But then you have to have, I suppose you have to have a training program as well. So do you have a training program that has strength training and running, and they're different, and you treat them separately?
Yes. And, yes, I do. And no, I don't, is the great answer to that one. But like for training for a 10K, I think I'd have a training plan that includes both. And as much as I love things like Runner and Cooper, they're great apps and things like that, and also the Women's Running website has some fantastic
Please.
Training plans. But what I really like to do is have a piece of paper, print it out, stick it on the fridge. And like for a 10K, I can think about my own training when I've gone from sort of a comfortable 5K up to a 10K. And I think that you can do that quite comfortably in kind of 8 weeks-ish. But everyone is different. So if you're going 0 to 10K, then, I mean, 8 to 12 weeks, 8 to 16 weeks, whatever feels comfortable for you. It's a bit like, you know, Couch to 5K. That's, what is that, 9 weeks, Couch to 5K?
Yeah, it's 9 weeks.
9 weeks. And the beauty of that is that you can always repeat a week. So never be beholden to a training plan that says, you've got to do this in 12 weeks. You don't have to do this in 12 weeks. You can do it in however many weeks you want to do.
I really like that. I think that's actually such good advice, because it is also inevitable that you're probably going to have illness or a wedding where you want to get really smashed or whatever it might be along the time along that training plan, and just allowing yourself the flexibility so you're not like, oh god, but I can't, or you're feeling panicky because you're poorly. There's nothing, I mean, that's a recipe for disaster
with
a training plan.
And I think like with a training plan, like, you could be training for a specific race, and then obviously you then do have like a time-based kind of goal going on there. And so then, yeah, you do have to sort of figure out how you're going to fit all that stuff in. But it's really good to give yourself the flexibility of an extra couple of weeks. So just in case you are getting smashed or doing some other bits.
Very important.
Do you have to? I have to literally put it all in my diary.
Yes.
And I have to go, okay, so Monday I can run. Tuesday I should have the day off because I try and have a day off after a run as well. And then I go, oh, Saturday it might be going out, won't run Sunday. And yeah, it's exactly like that. And then I have to go, if anyone asks for a meeting, I have to go, I'm actually already in a meeting at that time, and I have to kind of make up a reason because you feel like you can't cancel someone because you're running because that sounds rubbish. But to you, it's really important. To them, it just sounds pants. So you have to kind of go, oh no, I've got something really important in.
I love that. Honestly, I remember a therapist saying that you are busy because you're spending time with yourself. It's absolutely fine. That sounds a bit weird, spending time with yourself. You know what I mean? Reading a book or something. That it's totally acceptable. You don't have to be busy being crazy, crazy busy. Like, you can just say to somebody, I'm busy, I'm not available. And 100% I think that we should do that with our running. I'm going to start putting it in my work calendar so that and call it, like, important team meetup. Or something.
Yeah, anyway,
and then
it's our work, isn't it? Right.
So, yeah, come on.
I think that does lead in quite cleverly into how you fit the training into a week, which can be really difficult, particularly if, like, say you've been injured and you've been off running for a little bit, or say you haven't done that sort of 10K training before. It can be really, really tricky to try and fit it into your week. You've got loads of other stuff on.
But isn't it funny as well, if you have got out of the habit of doing it, how suddenly you don't have time?
It just goes.
How did I have time before?
Yeah, exactly. And if you're doing, if, like, say we're suggesting that to train for a 10K, you do 3 runs a week and 2 strength training sessions a week, that feels like a lot. Like, you might, in your head, you'd be like, that's 5 things. That's 5 things we've got to squeeze in.
And it does seem cheeky, because we did literally say at the beginning of this, that is one of the benefits of a 10K. It's like, oh, it's a hard training. But I think there are hacks, right? I mean, Jenny has already alluded to one, that, like, I think a run commute is something that more and more people are doing, and that is a great way to get your run in. But also, the strength training can 100% be tacked on to the end of a run. Like, that's what I normally do.
Run with weights.
Some people do. You can buy weighted gloves that I think are, like, so that you run around with, like, heavy arms, like an orangutan.
We're not suggesting it's hard work. That is hard.
Not for me. Why would I make it harder? But some people want to.
But you can definitely squish things together. It doesn't have to be, like, Monday to Friday, you're exercising every single day, doing something intense. Like, if one of your midweek runs is 20 minutes and your strength training is 20 minutes, then you can try and find that. You know, that 20 minutes could happen before work. Yeah. One 20-minute can happen in front of something amazing that you like to watch.
If you're doing absolutely strength training at home, you know, they always do this, don't they? Going, just squat while you're brushing your teeth. And I'm like, I actually don't brush my teeth for the full amount of time that I meant to. So the squatting would only be for, like, 15 seconds. And you're like, oh, I'm bored. But you can, if you're watching a TV show, you can do it. Also, if you have a child, it's the best way, because they want to prove that even though they're way less than half your age, they want to prove that they're better than you. So just get them to do sit-ups with you or plank with you, and they will beat you. But
I used to do that with my mum. Yeah, that was my first foray into fitness. My mum had Rosemary Conley's whole body workout, and we used to do it together, and I used to only join in because I wanted to be like, this is so easy. What are you like? Why are you struggling? I loved showing off. It was my favourite thing. Yeah. So, yeah. And I'm sure that was quite motivating for her, because she was like, you little shit.
I bet.
Shall we segue?
Oh.
Yes. Okay. Thank you for all of this amazing advice, including my own. We are now going to furnish you with some heavy-duty scientific tips, courtesy of a very special guest, Holly.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. Okay, hang on. There's a special guest coming, but you might have to wait 1 second.
Very special. We didn't talk about this guest
before. We didn't talk about
this. I know that you all thought it was Jenny, who is our special guest. But this
talk while I do.
It's an even more... Look at this. There's a very special guest coming here.
This is our special VIP coming to deliver us some exceptional... confidence-boosting factets. Okay, so you might want a little sip of wine while this is happening. Yeah, so...
I love this. Can't believe we haven't got a little curtain for you
we
to be behind
have
here.
Look at that.
Yeah, a little lift or...
Welcome to the stage, Professor Taylor.
Hello.
I couldn't even tell how close that was to my mouth.
There's absolutely no chance I'm going to be able to read these facts.
Don't kick over the wine. Don't kick over the wine.
Oh, God, thank you. That's very important.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
Hello.
Professor Taylor is here to tell us some 10K facts.
I am. I did think about doing this with an accent, but every single one that we tried in the car, we were like, we can't
racist.
Do that. We can't do that. We can't do that. So, here I'm looking at a total blur. So,
I may have to lift the glasses.
Thank you. Thank you very much to my wonderful lab assistant.
Oh.
Off they go.
There we go.
We knew this bit was going to be really sensible and just... Yeah, very serious. But I did have some facts. I kind of wanted to do them as like audience participation because I found these really interesting and I didn't quite believe them and I thought you definitely weren't going to believe them of me unless I looked like a scientist. So that's why we ordered a lab coat on Amazon Prime. So the first fact I wanted to see if you guys know the answer to is, what is the average pace... Or I guess it's not really pace, it's a time that I've got. What's the average time that it takes a woman, and this is worldwide now, this is not just in the UK, that it takes a woman to run a 10K? I don't know how we're going to do this. Anyone? Shout them out.
1 hour. They're saying an hour.
An hour is the general consensus.
Hour.
It's an hour and 14 minutes, which I thought is pretty good. But it's also, I found that quite reassuring. I was like, okay, you know, I'm an average 10K runner, which felt quite nice. I thought that felt, you know, it's all the more reason to not feel intimidated about doing pace. That's certainly not to say that that's not still a brilliant pace. But it's not like we're not talking 36 minutes or something. Yeah. Like
this. I know, it's soul destroying when you see Paula Radcliffe do it and like, and I wasn't even trying, you know, like that. But that kind of gives us all hope that something is achievable.
Definitely, 100%. Okay, well done, class. The next fact that I would like you to try and have a guess at here is how many global participants were there in 10K races? This is in 2019, I'm afraid. That was the most current stat that my lab team could glean.
Yeah.
Well, around the world, 10K races.
Yeah, this is worldwide again. So worldwide participants. And yeah, this is races. This is not people who ran a 10K. This is people who raced in a 10K.
3 mil.
We're having 3 million. Mil. 2.5 mil.
5, 10.
5, 10.
Okay.
Higher. Jenny thinks higher.
Okay.
I was quite shocked to find out that it's 1.8 mil.
What?
That's
so,
all.
Again, Esther and I, or should I say my lab of whatever, oh, yeah, I'm doing. Yeah.
I screwed up so badly because we didn't know how to make percentages work. But
yeah, we're not 100% sure as women in STEM whether we got this quite right, but that checks out to 0.02% of the world.
Wow.
So basically, we're all legends. Yeah. I couldn't quite believe how amazing that was. So, yeah, massive pat on the back if you've run a 10K or if you're planning to run a 10K, because clearly not everybody has. Okay, and then my last factoid is, what is the average age of a 10K runner? I think this is worldwide gender-wide, yeah, this is both. This is just the average 10K runner, men, women, all across the world.
If I say 40, do you think higher or lower?
Lower.
Okay, lower than that. What? How low?
Oh, there's a higher over there.
What, 30 or 30?
Low in 40.
High 40s over there, mid-30s over here.
You're pretty bang on in the middle. It's 39. It's 39 is the average. So again, I think that is another... I found that another quite rousing statistic, personally.
I mean, it's brutally young for some of us. You know,
I mean, but... yes. But also, I think it's pretty, like, bang on average, isn't it? What's the average age?
It's good
age
as well
someone?
To know that not everyone is, you know, 18 and running, that actually people are still running as they mature.
In fact, when I was researching all of this stuff and I was trying to work out how to put it into sort of statistics in some way, shape or form, the numbers of people running and participating in events and stuff who are
between 30 and 40, between 40 and 50 are way higher than people younger. It's a big peak. So
it is. It is. Yeah. So thank you to Professor Taylor for all those lovely facts.
Actually, Professor Taylor, I've got a little present for you.
Oh my gosh, have you?
Yeah.
Okay. Is it going to help with how sweaty I am?
Oh my god, I'm so sweaty. Okay. Put your glasses on, otherwise you won't be able to see it.
I know, that's what I'm just gonna do. I'm gonna
quite sexy.
Thank you.
Pleasure. But you're going to need this for your lab coat. So this
there
is.
Go. Now I can see. Thank you, Jenny.
Little gift for you.
Oh! Oh my gosh! You got this. Would have been perfect on my lab coat. It says STEMinist.
I know.
Oh, I love it.
Thank you.
My pleasure.
You're amazing. I'll put it on my lab coat and walk around Battersea Power Station.
They're
going to
love that.
Yeah, they'll be asking me for all sorts of information, all sorts of stats.
Great. So now we've had all of these lovely facts, we have been asking you to provide your embarrassing stories. And we have a few of them here. So what we thought we'd do is, I think, probably start off with our own embarrassing, because running always inevitably ends in an embarrassing story at some point. So we thought we'd share ours. We've got a few of yours. And then we'll probably bring Professor Taylor back to start the clipometer.
Oh, shall we? Oh, God, I've got to put the bloody lab coat on. I'm trying to negotiate myself off this stool again.
You can do it without the lab coat. It's fine.
Okay,
it's
thank
fine.
You. I am still, I hold the title still.
You do.
Even without,
you do.
Okay, good.
So, Hall, have you had any embarrassing moments when you've been running?
Not me, actually. Not really. I mean, yes, I've had plenty. I was trying to find one that I haven't told on the podcast before. So the one that I was like, what's something embarrassing that's happened to me recently? And it was actually in the process of testing, because as we're like working on the brand that we do, working on women's running, we get to test quite a lot of kit, which can be amazing and very exciting and can result in some brilliant runs where you think, oh my gosh, I'm never running without this thing again. But more often than not, let's be honest, it can result in wearing something for, I don't know, 3 miles where you're like, I cannot wait to get home and take this off. This is so awful. Who designed this? And a nameless brand, I was testing out one of those, they're called like boob bands or something, that like, the idea I think is if you've got big knockers, then, and you've got a sports bra that maybe isn't as supportive as you need, or you need a bit of extra support, you wear them round the top and they sort of prevent the upward bounce. So I was wearing one of those, and I first of all, they're like 75% Velcro, which is just awful and painful, and you can't let them near a jumper or a cardigan. And so, yeah, that wasn't a great start. I looked like I had an unruly cat before I'd even put it on. But the other thing is, in order to like get it, I mean, if anyone's tried one that's worked, please let me know. But I find that in order to get them tight enough to actually do anything, they're like, they're a bomb waiting to go off. The tension is very high. And you're either going to end up with a necklace or a belt, really, is what's going to happen. And I did end up kind of hula hooping this thing with, I mean, tits knocking, giving me black eyes because there's no support going on there, in front of people as I ran past. And they must have been like, what the that thing that was just like dangling round my waist, like, and I was like, oh, what? And that was a recent embarrassing moment that I don't believe I've shared on the podcast before.
Exclusive content.
Yeah.
And I think, I mean, anyone that's listened to the pod in recent months might know my embarrassing story, because it does involve pooing in a bush.
Fun times.
It was all about kind of, I think, mile 13, I think, of quite a long run along the canal. Do you know what? It could have been so much worse. There was a gate and a field and a bush, and the only things looking at me were a bunch of cows. So it could have been so, so much worse. But I think the worst thing about, and it was just awful, it's just that the panic of your stomach turning to liquid, and you're just going, there's no handy Marks and Spencers to dive into, and it's just awful.
Actually, quite a sad tale, really.
No, it was horrific. No Marks and Spencers to me. But I think, you know, the gruesome bit of it was also not running with any loo roll or anything with me. So it was the use of nature's bounty. And that was uncomfortable, also concerning as I was then doing the final kind of 3 or 4 mile run of shame, thinking that maybe I might have some various bits of foliage stuck out the back of my leggings. And not fun. It wasn't my funnest run.
It's funny though, because if you're near shops and things, do you ever do that where you're like, are you going to McDonald's? You know, I'm just going to order something, but before I do, I'm just going to pop to the toilet. And then you're like, ha ha, they fell for it again. I've got toilet stories, I've got mishap stories, I think lots of people will do. But the one that's most recent for me is I did a race and I was very pleased. And I was, you know, at the end, if you do a race, you're like that, yay! Don't you stand like this? Hey! And all that happened was they were leggings that were really comfy to run in, but they also show up sweat. And so it just looked like I'd peed myself. And I had this big sweat circle just around there. And all the photos just look like I've wet myself. There's no. I've cropped in on quite a few of them.
Oh, that's nice. So I'll search for them on Getty.
Yeah. That's we can't be the only ones. You must have embarrassing. Yeah.
Thank you for providing the content, because it's getting late and we're a bit knackered.
Tell you what, I'll share these out.
There you go.
Okay.
Jenny, we want to hear from you guys. Then I'll give you a couple. We've got tons. We're going to figure out which of these is the most embarrassing. You guys can vote with your cheering.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I don't have a name. I don't have a name on this one. So this is embarrassing moment number one. After a very hot, sweaty run, I got home to find the zip in my leggings over my butt was jammed, so I was locked outside my flat as I couldn't get to my keys. I managed to slip in the front entrance, I don't think that's a euphemism, and knocked on my neighbour's door, who I'd never met, who had to cut a hole into my leggings, so I gave her my keys. Oh, she later moved out! Oh no! Right, oh my God. Okay.
That's quite iconic, to be fair.
Right, butt zip. That's what we're going to call it. Butt zip. Right, go on the hole.
Okay, this one. I finished a race running over the finish line in the wrong direction because I got lost, which surprised everyone. I have form for getting lost in races. That one's from Iva. So that one we can call wrong direction.
This one is anonymous, but someone in here has run races and missed everything because they don't look. So when running Vitality 10K, I didn't realise I went past Buckingham Palace. I missed it. When running London Marathon, I didn't see the Tower of London. I mean, these are like quite big things to miss, really. So well done for that.
Oh, that'd be missing things.
Yeah, missing things.
Oh, Alice. Hi, Alice. Okay, Great North Run 23. You remember the unprecedented heat? Yes, oh my God. I am a heavy sweater. I wear always long dailies. Ran the distance and turning into the final South Shield stretch, which is lovely. Oh no! Oh no. Oh, you weren't wearing leggings, were you?
Shorts.
Feel my panty liner now engorged with sweat roll out of my gussets. Top marks for getting gusset.
Incredible.
In
love a gusset. Extra points for gusset.
I'm calling that gusset. Oh, it's a bit on the back. Oh my God.
It continues.
Oh my God. Part B. And as I'm racing that final Chariots of Fire stretch, it creeps down the back of my hamstring. Oh my God. At the finish line, I pulled it out and clenched it in my fist as I was presented with my medal. Oh my God! Boom! We almost have
Alice,
a winner.
Alice, iconic.
I'm calling that gusset. Right.
Gusset.
Go.
Okay, running up a shocking hill at mile 9 of a half marathon, thinking I was doing really well, and then two people walked past me. Not embarrassing. We've all been there.
I managed to run a 10K, so I decided to sign up for a 20K trail run. It said it was a sky run. I was like, oh, that's cute. So I did my training, blah, blah. Turns out the trail run was at altitude with 1,200 metres elevation. It was awful. My boyfriend said I was walking so slow. It was painful for him, so he had to power ahead. I did finish, but I will never, ever do a sky run again.
Oh.
I think you did brilliantly by doing it. Who was that?
Oh, mate.
Still amazing. Still amazing.
Still amazing.
I've had that before, to be fair, where I've tried, when I, my first attempt to run with Doug was very painful for both of us because it was either going to be horrific for me speed-wise or awful for his knees.
Were you hoping it would be romantic and lovely?
Yeah, I was like, oh my God, we're going to fancy each other so much after this.
We didn't speak for 3 days. We've been running once together, me and James, and we fell out on that run. That'll never happen again. No. He just told me to piss off and he'd meet me at home. I was just being enthusiastic, going, come on, let's do it. Apparently it really irritated him.
Right, I've got one last one here. Have you got any more of that?
No, I'm done.
Okay, last one. I fell over at mile 12 of the Brighton Half Marathon, which is brutal. I've done that. Properly arse over tit. That's nice. Smashing my headphones and terrifying an old man who exclaimed, Jesus Christ, as I landed. Instantly jumped up, apologised and tried to run away. Got home to find the sneaky photographer had snapped me, hobbling away looking about 5 years old, trying not to cry. Still ran the last mile, though.
Yay! Right. We're coming for that photographer.
We are.
We're going to find them.
Yeah, what an asshole. Right. Okay.
Okay.
So,
well, do we want... I mean, I think that there was clear support for... It's got to be Gusset.
Gusset.
Yeah,
it's got to be Gusset.
Do we think Gusset's the winner of that lot?
Yeah.
Yay!
Alice, I have something to present
to
you.
Here,
I have something to present to you. Esther, can I give you this?
You may... Oh,
I'm going to give you everything.
Yeah.
Sorry, my badge.
Okay. Oh, God, not Alice. The badge. Not the badge. Right,
there's
we're going
to... small coronation.
Oh, yeah. Present Alice.
I present to you, Alice.
The most embarrassing story.
Well done.
Yay! Queen of cringe.
Queen of
embarrassing.
Yeah, really
queen
good. So I think that just leaves us to say thank you so much, all of you, for coming. We've had the best time.
Oh, my
thank
God,
you,
it's been so
Jenny.
Fun.
Thank you, Hol. Oh. Thank you, Sweaty Betty. Thank you so much to Randox for sponsoring, because without them, this would not happen.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you to all the little bits and pieces you'll find in your goodie bags as you leave. And thank you to all of you for coming.
Yeah, yeah, you guys are the best.
Thank you for listening. Come and join us on Patreon. You can get a ton of extra Pod Squad benefits from just £2 a month, including newsletters, live chats, and you can join our exclusive Discord community for friendly chat and support with like-minded women runners. Go to patreon.com/womensrunning to find out more. This podcast was recorded in person, in case you hadn't guessed. The producer and composer was David Newman. Please hit like and subscribe. That way you won't miss the next episode. Do please email us at wrpodcast@anthem.co.uk with any questions or running stories, as we would love to include them in a future podcast. Happy running.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time.
That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.